Shaila is if somebody's traveling on Tainus Esther, either from here to the West Coast, or from Eretz Yisrael to America, from America to Israel, one Shaila was from India to New York. So unfortunately, when somebody in this shul had their itinerary planned, probably not by them, or they did it when they didn't realize that they didn't do it with their Jewish calendar and their non-Jewish calendar, they planned a trip from India to New York, leaving India on Wednesday morning in India, which is about as bad as you could have, because that means if they leave India in the morning, that means that they start Tanis Esther there, and then they're on the flight for, I don't know, 10 hours or so, 12 hours, and then they come straight here where it's 7 hours...
10 and a half hours earlier. It's the same time they arrive here.
10 hours, so then they have another 10 hours for their tinus when they arrive in New York. So when they realized what happened, they felt they gave themselves a little kick somewhere, and they felt terrible about it. They felt that was a silly mistake. They just didn't realize when they booked their ticket. They wanted to be back for Purim. That worked, but they found themselves in a little bit of a quandary. Somebody else just told me they're going to Eretz Yisrael the next day or two. There it's to the contrary. They'll benefit him because let's say you leave here on Tanis Esther at 9 a.m. and moving forward in time and moving towards the east, you know, it's going to get dark. It's going to be the nighttime already, and a few hours later, it'll already be the nighttime of Wednesday. So what's the halacha in these scenarios? So Ramosha points out an interesting point. He says these shilas of traveling in an airplane where there's a change of both time zones as well as the speed at which airplanes travel, you know, back or forward in time, not literally, but he says, we don't have any Gemaras about that. And therefore, it's very difficult to answer these shilas. There are no Mikorium Mamashim, no real sources from Ridiri Rabbeinu, and therefore we have to evaluate such shilas with Svara alone without any real sources in Shast. Based on that preamble, Rav Moshe suggests the following is his svara. He says that his view, Rav Moshe says, my view is that you are defined by where you are right now. Meaning, where you are right now, the Tanis has begun, the dawn, it's dawn, the Tanis has begun for you. And wherever you are right now, it got dark, the Tanis is finished for you. So let's now plug that into the shilas that we have. Let's talk about a guy going from here to Eretz Yisrael. So he's going to start his tinus here, let's say, and he gets on the plane right out, you know, right when the tinus begins at 5, 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning. And 7, 8 hours later, by the time it's, you know, 3 p.m. in New York, it's already pitch black, it's already dark, it's already Tzeis HaKochavim. So he'll start eating dinner, he'll start eating his breakfast at 3 in the afternoon, 2:30 in the afternoon, New York time, because where he went, because he's sailing into the later day, into the evening, it's going to be Tzeis HaKochavim. So he'll end up with a short tinus. Unfortunately, our shul member who's coming from India is going to have a very difficult situation because they are sailing. They start their tinus in India, and then they're sailing straight back in time into the beginnings of the tinus. And according to Ramosha, they will in fact have not just what's supposed to be a 12-hour tinus, they're effectively going to have about a 20-hour tinus. I don't know the exact numbers, but that's what would come out according to Ramosha. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Yashiv points out that this leniency, let's again imagine somebody's coming from Eretz Yisrael to New York. So if you're coming from Eretz Yisrael to New York, you're going back in time. You're going earlier in the day. So that makes it better. That means it's getting, you left, if you leave Israel at 3 in the afternoon, you get to, it gets dark in fewer hours. It gets dark, no, I'm sorry, the opposite, right?
Right.
So 1 second, hold on a second. If you're going from Eretz Israel to America,
they're 7 hours ahead of us.
Right, that I know. I could just make the chash, but if a person is going from Eretz Israel to America, then it's getting dark.
Later.
Okay, so let's switch it up. Let's switch it around, okay? If somebody is coming from America and going into Eretz Israel, they would theoretically, a woman would be able to go to the mikveh when she lands in Eretz Israel, even though if you're going into Eretz Israel, so it gets dark It's only 2 in the afternoon, 3 in the afternoon, New York time. And yet it's already dark, because you're sailing into the night. That, Rabbi Yosher says, would be okay for her to go to the mikveh right when she lands, because that will be, again, for her, it's Teisa Kochavim. And you don't need set what we think of 24-hour periods, 7 times 24-hour periods. It's enough to be a nightfall after the 7. It was that there was a full day that passed, not a full day of 24 hours, but of sunrise and sunset. A person, the woman encountered that, and therefore they would be able to go to the mikveh, even though there's not that 7th full day. So last night we spoke about the situation of somebody flying from India to New York on the Tainus, and we pointed out that Ramosha wrote that there are no Gemaras that talk about these Shilas, and therefore it's Misva, we have to deal with a Misvara. And Ramosha came out with both a Kula and a Chumra, depending if whether you're flying east or west. And Ramosha's opinion, as we mentioned last night, was you follow wherever you are right now. If where you are right now, it's the fast is beginning, the fast has begun. If wherever you are right now, the fast is ending, the fast is over. And therefore, if you're flying from here to Eretz Yisrael, the fast could be less than 12 hours. If you're flying from Eretz Yisrael or India to New York, it could be many more than 12 hours. That's Ramosha's opinion. In the research of this issue, somebody sent me Sheva Talevi. Sheva Talevi of Vazna Zatzal, who passed away just, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Rav Vazna, he was actually in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, if I'm not mistaken, and later in Bnei Brak. So Rav Vazna writes, starts off the same way as Rav Moshe. Rav says that we don't have Gemara, so we have to sort of figure out Misvara. Well, once you realize that it's a Shai that depends on Svara, it's very easy to have a different Svara than Rav Moshe. He doesn't quote Rav Moshe. But the Shevet HaLevi says that when Chachamim instituted this idea called a Tainus, so they imagined in their mind's eye that a person should fast a certain amount, and they figured that this is something that people can handle. They didn't establish any fast for a day and a half, for 2 days. They established the fast for the way they did, because they figured out that this is what a person could reasonably handle. And therefore, if it were to be the case that a person would have to fast for, again, if it could be as much as 12 hours, let's say a 12-hour day, plus if they're traveling 7 hours, from Eretz Yisrael to America, could it be 19 hours? That Chachamim, when they established the fast, that wasn't their intention. They never assumed necessarily that Pnei Yisrael could be Omeid B'zeh. They said 12 hours is an Gzer She'efshar She'atzi V'yachol La'amod Bo. So more than that, how should we know that they were willing to put upon us, to oppress us with such an intense requirement? I realize that there are some fasts that we have that are 24-hour fasts. When they saw a fit, they did, they did give us a Tisha B'Av. But okay, it's not Tisha B'Av, it's only a day time fast, a 12-hour fast. And therefore, Rav Vosner's opinion, again, based on his Svara, is that we can't assume that Chachamim require us to fast any more than 12 hours. And therefore, once you have, from wherever you started that morning, once the place where you came from that morning, it's over. And therefore, that would be, so in our case from our Ms. Paula from India, I told him, Allah Lamaisa, I told him, look, you're flying from India. If you feel okay, and you could keep on fasting, we generally would eat, we're mostly Ramosha people. We're not from Bnei Brak, and we're Americans from New York. We mostly follow Ramosha. But if you don't feel well, I think on a Tainus Derabanan, and as we'll speak about in a minute, and especially on Tainus Esther, I think you could rely on the Shevet HaLevi. If you're not feeling well, feel weak, or you don't feel well, then break your fast when it would be over in India in the middle of your flight. That's what I told him, Allah Lamaisa. I hope he'll feel good. Which brings us, in the next 3 minutes...
What does Rav Nachman say in the other direction?
What would the Shevet HaLevi say in the other direction? Would it be shorter than 12 hours also? I just don't remember what the Shevet said. I'm sorry. As far as the Tainus of Tainus Esther is concerned, Tainus Esther is different from the rest of the Tainus. The other Tainus that we have, in terms of Tzom Gedalia, Sar B'Teves, Shavas B'Tamazan, and of course Tisha B'Av, those are only Divrei Kabbalah. That means it's a Takana D'Rabbanan, but a takana de rabbanan that is so early that it appears in a pasuk in Tanakh. Tanis Esther, although the concept of Tanis Esther appears in Tanakh and Megillas Esther, but as far as it being an obligation upon us, there's no pasuk that obligates us in Tanakh and Megillas Esther to fast. Rather, it's a minhag. And it could be a very early minhag, but it's a minhag nevertheless. Because it's a minhag, and not a takana derabanan in its initial source, it is more lenient than regular ta'anios, in as much as the following. The Rama says in Hilchas Purim, in Hilchas Tanis Esther, the Rama says the following. Tanis zeh, ein achova. It's not obligatory. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you don't have to fast if you're not in the mood for it. Therefore, lachen yesh lahakel bo le'esat tzorech. If there is a need, one can be mekel. This is not like the other Tanis, the other four Tanis in Tzom Gedaya, Serbateves, Shuvah, Serbatamas. Kegon, for example, a pregnant woman or a nursing woman or a cholish ein bo sakana, normally, if a pregnant, the Shulchan Aruch, if you ask, I know Rabbanim don't always say this, but a pregnant woman or a nursing woman, the Shulchan Aruch says that if they are bitsar, then they could break their fast on the other Tanios. Tanis Esther, even if they're not bitsar, they could just start off the bat, eating straight away, and continues the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, afil rak ko'ev einayim. Even if somebody is not yet at the threshold of a cholish ein bo sakana, they're not nafal l'mishkav, they have merely a headache. They have an ayik, whatever kovei enayim means. Even that, in mitztarim harbe, lo yis'anu, you don't have to fast. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, Tanis Esther is more lenient, and it's important to realize that even if a person is going about their day, and they have a headache, it's not like they got a migraine and they have to lie down, which they could break their fast on all of the Tanios, of course, except Yom Kippur. But if they are just going about their day and they have a headache, such a on Tanis Esther, one is permitted to eat in that case. If nothing bothers you, then of course, then you should fast. Feel a little weak, you certainly should continue to fast. Where do we find this distinction? We'll finish with this. We find this idea that if something's only a minhag meikaro, one could be mekel b'miktsas choli in the situation of eating milk when you're fleishus. In the halachas of waiting 6 hours. Waiting the first hour after eating meat, that might be a din de gemara. That might be a real halacha. Waiting the extra 5 hours till 6 hours is wonderful. Some people read it into a gemara, but it's most probably it's a minhag. And that din of minhag, the Pischei Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Chasam Sofer in Hilchas Basa B'Cholav. Chasam Sofer says that in the olden days they used to think if you have certain stomach pains, if you drink warm milk, it will make the stomach pains go away. So Chasam Sofer says, if a person has a stomach ache and they're fleishus, so in the latter 5 hours, since they're not feeling well, the latter 5 hours are only a minhag, and a minhag b'makom tzar doesn't have to be taken into consideration. Therefore, one would be permitted to drink that warm milk if they had a bellyache in hours 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. They would not have to wait 6 hours to drink that warm milk. The first hour, then you'd have to be a little bit on a higher level of sickness, a cholish ein bo sakana. But for the extra hours, since it's only a minhag, the same idea that we see here by Tanis Esther. It's only a minhag, Tanis Esther. Therefore, if somebody's not feeling well, even if it's not terrible, even if it's just a mild headache, they would not have to follow the minhag of Tanis Esther, just like the minhag of waiting 6 hours. Everybody should feel healthy and strong.